life, which was your home, your food, and your very existence. So Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, welcome, and just a word from our dear sister, Louisa Picaretta today, the little daughter of the Divine Will, who on this day says to us, pluck up your courage if you want to be a saint and to please Jesus more. Enclose yourself in the holy will of God. Hold it as more than your very own life. May it be your continuous food, your refuge, your help, and your strength. So, good morning and welcome as we prepare today on this Feast of St. Dominic, great preacher, founded the Order of Preachers, good friend of St. Francis of Assisi. And today, as we honor him and we pray for his help and intercession, we want to begin our preparation for the great feast of the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother into Heaven, which we will celebrate a week from today on August 15th in the church, Solemnity of the Assumption. And so our broadcast today will be really focused on our Blessed Mother as the Queen of the Divine Will as we prepare for the great Feast of the Divine Will next Saturday. So I'd like to begin with a little introduction from our Blessed Mother herself. As you know, Louisa wrote a beautiful book. We discussed it throughout the month of May as we read passages and reflected on her call to us to live in the Divine Will. And that book is called The Queen of Heaven in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. And at the beginning of that book, which our Blessed Mother dictated to Louisa, she wrote an invitation. We call it an appeal or a motherly call to all souls to enter this kingdom of the Divine Will. And so I'd like to read the beginning of that appeal today. We'll continue with that next week, but just to listen to part of it. Our Blessed Mother wrote and spoke to Louisa, and Louisa recorded her words, where Mary says to us, "My most precious children, I can no longer hold back my motherly desire to come down from heaven and visit you. If you promise to love me and to be faithful to me, then I'll always stay in your souls to be your teacher, your model, example, and your most tender mother. I've come to invite you into my kingdom, the kingdom of the divine will. I am knocking at the door of your heart. Will you not open it to me? I'm bringing you this book in my own hands as a gift. I'm offering it to you with all my motherly tenderness, so that by reading it you can learn to live in heaven, no longer upon the earth. My children, this book is priceless. It will make you so spiritually wealthy and happy even while you are on earth. You will discover in its pages the fountain of goodness. If you are weak, you will receive strength. If tempted, you will overcome. If you have fallen into sin, you will find the reassuring and powerful hand that will raise you up again. If you feel hurt, you will find comfort. If you are cold, you will find the sure way to warm yourself. And when you're hungry, you'll enjoy in it the delicious food of the divine will. With this book, you will lack nothing, and you will never be alone again. Because I want to keep you company, and as your mother, I will take it upon myself to make you happy in every way I can. Yes, I, the Heavenly Queen, will take care of everything for you, as long as you decide to live united to me." Well, I think we're all certainly desiring to live united to our Blessed Mother. We all want to be one with her in the kingdom of God's will. And that's really why we're here today, why you're listening, why I'm speaking. And we pray that that will become more and more the only desire of our hearts, for that was certainly always foremost the desire of Mary's heart, was to live united with her Son, and through him to live united with God. And so as we prepare for this great feast of the Divine Will, which is the Feast of the Assumption, And we'll hear why it's called a Feast of the Divine Will from some of the readings that from the Book of Heaven that we're going to share with you today and next week. And they're really the reasons Jesus himself gave to Louisa. As we know, it was through many, many locutions, apparitions, many times when Jesus himself would come to speak to Louisa from the beginning of her first Holy Communion, around the age of 8 years old, that Jesus began to speak to her. And so she received all of these with great faith and great courage to carry out the words that Jesus placed in her heart and which she recorded for us. How grateful we are that Louisa was obedient to her bishop and her priest confessors to record these words. And even how much more grateful that we are given the grace to hear them today and many days of our lives. And even more grateful that the Holy Spirit enables us to appreciate, to receive and absorb these words and integrate them into our lives so that we can not only know them, but we can love them, we can possess them as our very life, and most of all, we can live the marvelous mystical lessons that we're being given through Louisa, the little daughter of the divine will. I'd like to emphasize in this day and also with our broadcast next week, the role of Mary, our Blessed Mother. You know, she has so many titles. We've heard many of them in the Litany of Loretto, and which the Church has given her. We have a sacramentary of Masses to Mary under many, many titles, which we can celebrate validly in the Church. And so what we'd like to look at, though, is Mary as spouse of the Holy Spirit. How is Mary so intimately united to God that she becomes, in effect, the very bride of the Holy Spirit, the very spouse of God himself? Why? Because if that was true of Mary, that's the same gift that she wants for us through the indwelling of the divine will. Mary did not have it by nature. She was not a member of the Holy Trinity, and neither are we. Only Jesus has that gift by nature, a second person of the Holy Trinity. But Mary has it by the fullness of grace and by the gift we call participation in the divine nature. And so Mary had it completely in a way that none of us will ever have it, except perhaps a little bit in heaven. But Mary had it completely by grace from the moment of her conception. And we know that at that moment the Holy Spirit hovered over her seed, and that her seed was preserved from any corruption of original sin. But not only was she preserved, she was infused, if you will, from the moment of her conception with the gift of God's most holy will through the power of the Holy Spirit, which came to overshadow and to, if you will, impregnate that seed with the very life of God. And if we think of it, that's again what happened at the Annunciation. St. Luke tells us that the angel Gabriel said the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, just as it did at her conception. And this time, through that overshadowing, Mary is impregnated with the divine life through the power of the Holy Spirit, and she conceives in her womb the very Son of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, what happened again at Pentecost? The Holy Spirit hovered not only over Mary, but over the beginnings of the Church in the upper room, so that that overshadowing of the Holy Spirit then impregnated not only Mary, but the entire community, the ecclesial body of the Church. And so as that Holy Spirit gave life to those first followers of Jesus, the apostles and Mary and the disciples in the upper room, the Holy Spirit brought the divine life into their souls in a more complete way. And that is precisely what God wants to do and does for us in the sacraments of initiation in the Church. But finally, we could say that at the end of Mary's life here on earth, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her again one final time on earth. And this time, it was to hover over her in such a way and overshadow her completely that she was embraced by that Holy Spirit so completely that it assumed her body and soul into heaven. And the church, of course, says that we're not sure if she actually died, but many theologians say that she fell asleep, that it was not a death as we experience death, because in the divine will, Mary was not subject to death. She did not have the seed of corruption from original sin, so she had the preternatural gift of living without death. And so she fell asleep, and then, of course, the angels under the wings of the Holy Spirit brought Mary to heaven. So once again, Mary was impregnated with the divine life, but this time it was all of heaven and the Holy Trinity that came to greet her and receive her into the dominion of heaven, where she would be for all eternity. And so all of this, all of the life of Mary, from the very moment of her conception until her assumption, and now for all eternity, is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the point, brothers and sisters, we want to always keep in mind when we think of Mary. Mary, by nature, was one of us. She was human. She never sinned by a special grace of God. But she was tempted and tried. She was challenged, as we all are, by our daily lives, our earthly lives. But she never sinned. And so Jesus says in the Gospel of John, unless you are born again by water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So certainly we've all been born again by water. But maybe a question we can ask when we think of our Blessed Mother is, have we been born again by the Spirit of God? In other words, water is something that is poured over us externally, outwardly. The Spirit is poured over us interiorly, over our souls. And so have we received, as Mary did, at least as far as we are able, this overshadowing of the Holy Spirit in our lives? And I think that would be a wonderful reflection for all of us as we celebrate this great feast. And as we think of how God's calling us to live every day a little more completely, fully in the divine will, because it's really not about external things. It certainly, hopefully, will change our behavior in certain ways, give us greater virtues and greater charity and peace and humility, etc. But most of all, it is something that happens interiorly. It is the grace of the Holy Spirit that transforms us more and more into the image and likeness of the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, and united more and more to the heart of Mary. And why is that so important? Well, because through Mary, we've been given Jesus. Through Mary, we return to God. One of my favorite stories in the early life of the Franciscans is that when Francis died at Portiuncula, the little portion there in Assisi at the bottom of the hill, one of the friars had a dream, and he saw in heaven two ladders going from earth to heaven. And he saw St. Francis up there in heaven, and he noticed that on one ladder, all the Franciscan friars kept falling off. They just couldn't make it very far. But on the second ladder, they were practically flying up to heaven. So in the dream, the friar asked Francis, why is it they're having so much trouble on that first ladder, but on the second one, it seems so easy? St. Francis pointed to the top of the ladder, and there was our Blessed Mother, Queen of Angels, and she had her hand outstretched to those Franciscan friars trying to climb the ladder, and she was practically lifting them up to heaven with her powerful arms of grace. And so I believe our Blessed Mother wants to do that for each and every one of us. She wants to raise us to be with her. That has got to be her greatest desire as a mother. What mother on earth would not want her children to be with her in heaven? What mother would not want for her children all of the goods, the gifts, the wealth, the beauty that God has given to her? And so Mary invites us today, and I firmly believe, and we all know, that she's praying for us. She's not just an example of how we should live, but she is an intercessor. She's praying for us. She's our advocate with her son. I like to think of Jesus, of course, as we all know, as the mediator between God and men. But maybe we can think of Mary as the mediator between Jesus and men. That is, Mary is his mother. And so we can go to Jesus more quickly, more easily, more gracefully through his mother. Doesn't mean we can't go to Jesus on our own. Certainly, Jesus wants us to have that very personal, intimate union relationship with him. But as we all know, it's often through our mothers that we come to understand what that unity with others means and that kind of intimacy that only a mother can teach her children. So we ask Mary to intercede for us today and to help us grow in our own understanding, love for her son. What makes Mary so special, I think, is not that she loved Jesus. Hopefully we all love Jesus. Many people love Jesus. But it was the all-consuming desire of Mary to love Jesus and the tremendous faith she had that he would give her himself the graces she needed to love him perfectly. And so, as Jesus prayed in Matthew, we hear in Matthew's gospel, he says, "How often I've longed to gather your children as a mother hen gathers the brood under her wings." That came straight from the heart of Jesus as he wept over Jerusalem. I believe our Blessed Mother says those same words from her heart, which is perfectly one with that of her son. "How often I've longed to gather you as my children, as a mother hen gathers her brood under her wings." So today, with great confidence and trust in our Blessed Mother, we ask her to keep us under her mantle, her wings of love, and to help us to live more as she did with this perfect love for Jesus. Of course, in our lives, perhaps it'll never be perfect, but we can certainly grow every day in that love. So this morning, we have some readings from the Book of Heaven. We'll have some this week and some more next week. And we'll begin in a moment. But I wanted, just before we began, to answer a quick question that we received, because I think it's very important that we try to listen to some of the questions that come from you, because you're our listeners and we want to help you to understand and live this more. The question is this that came to us. Jesus often, when he's speaking to Louise in the Book of Heaven, speaks in two ways about God's will. He will call it most of the time, many times, the divine will. But other times he will use the word volition. And so in Italian, those of you who know Italian know that the first word for will in Italian is volontà, la divina volontà, is the divine will. But there's another word in Italian, volontà is a noun. The word volere, which we translate volition, is a verb also. We would maybe call it willing, more like a participle in English, an action word, action adjective. And so when there is a difference, for many years I thought, oh, it's really the same thing, but I asked someone who's much more an authority on the divine will, and he said, no, there is a difference, that in the will, the volontà, the noun, we're really speaking of God's very essence, that is, who God is in himself. As St. Bernard would say, to live in God's will is to live in God as he is in himself. And so it's more the very essence, so we might call it the DNA of God, his very being. When we speak of the volition, when you read that word, think of more of an action of willing, so that it's more like I'm in the willing, as God is one eternal act of willing, of loving from his will. So we want our own willing, which is always an act of our souls, faculty of the souls, to always be one with that willing of God. So it's not a static thing. It's always something that's going on, that's continuing a process of uniting our willing with God's willing. You see, it's not just, okay, well, I've united my will to God, now I'm done. No, it's a continuous act, That's why he says, I want you to be doing this all the time in everything you do. This Father Pablo, who explained this to me, said, think of the difference between the heart and the heartbeat. Think of the difference between an engine and the motion. And so the heart or the engine is the divine will in itself, as the organ of our soul that operates with God. But the action of that will, the heartbeat or the motion, is the willing that flows now from the will of God instead of just our own will acting by itself. So, very simply, you might think of applying that difference when you hear those two words, because as I've done so, I've really found it helps. It really kind of makes it a little more alive, a little more clear in what Jesus is trying to communicate to Louisa. So we hope that that explanation will help our listeners to both understand better as we're reading, but most of all to really apply that verb. You know, living in the divine will is a verb. It's not a noun. It's something we have to be doing all the time. It's an action, continuous acting in our lives. Very good. Well, as we're almost time for music, I do want to begin. Perhaps we have a few minutes. We'd like to start with the first reading from the Book of Heaven today, which is Volume 2. And so a very beautiful passage. We have edited some of these passages, if you're following along or if you know them very well, to pertain to the parts of these diary entries that refer to the Assumption of Mary, so we can grow in our understanding. And perhaps another time we can read the whole passage. But today we're just concerned with the parts that are referring to Mary's Assumption. So Anne's now going to read for us from Volume 2.
August 15th, 1899, the Virgin Mary assumed into heaven, the Hail Mary together with Jesus. I felt I was going out of myself into the vault of the heavens together with my loving Jesus. It seemed that everything was in feast, heaven, earth, and purgatory. All were inundated with a new joy and jubilation. Many souls were going out of purgatory and, like bolts of lightning, reached heaven in order to be present at the feast of our Queen Mama. I too pushed myself through that immense crowd of people, angels, saints, and souls from purgatory, which already occupied that new heaven. It was so immense that the heavens that we see, compared to that one, seemed a little whole to me. But as I went about looking, I could see nothing but a most refulgent sun spreading its rays, which penetrated through me in such a way as to make me become like crystal, so much so that my little spots appeared very clearly, as well as the infinite distance that exists between creator and creature. More so, since each one of those rays had its imprint. Some delineated the sanctity of God, some the purity, some the power, some the wisdom, and all the other virtues and attributes of God. So in seeing her nothingness, her miseries, and her poverty, the soul would feel annihilated, and instead of looking, she would fall down her face to the ground before that eternal sun which no one can face. But what is more, in order to see the feast of Mama, one had to look from within that sun. So much did the most holy virgin appear to be immersed in God. In fact, it looked my son, baby Jesus, being held in the arms of the Queen Mama, told me, "Our Mama is in heaven. To you I give the office of acting as my Mama on earth. And since my life is continuously subject to scorns, to poverty, to pains, to the abandonment of men, and my Mama, while being on earth, was my faithful companion in all of these pains, not only this, but she tried to relieve me in everything, as much as her strengths were capable of, you too, acting as my mother, will keep me faithful company in all of my pains, suffering in my place as much as you can, and where you cannot reach, you will try to give me at least a refreshment. Know, however, that I want you all intent on me. I will be jealous even of your breath if you do not do it for me. And when I see that you are not all intent on contenting me, I will give you no peace and no rest.
Thank you, Anne. So a very beautiful passage there. There are a number of them in the Book of Heaven, taken from the very feast day, August 15th, during the life of Louisa. And so Louisa would record these reflections or these messages, these words that she receives from the Lord himself, as today, where this is Jesus speaking to her. But she says that she's recording here not so much as words, but her experience. At the beginning of the passage, she has a dialogue with Jesus. But here she's really just recounting what happened to her in this experience. She says, it seemed that everything was in feast, heaven, earth, and purgatory. Why? Because our Blessed Mother is Mother and Queen of all the Church, not just of heaven, but of us on earth. And even she is Queen of the Souls in purgatory, for it's through her again that all of us enter the kingdom of the divine will. And so this great joy that these souls are experiencing, even in purgatory, she says, they were going out like bolts of lightning. And they reached heaven in order to be present at this feast of our Queen Mama. You can imagine that on the feast of our Blessed Mother's Assumption, how much she wants to bring souls with her out of purgatory. That's their, if you will, their own assumption into heaven with Mary as she goes to purgatory to lead them out so they can share in her joy and her glory with God in heaven. And so this beautiful vision, this experience that Louisa has, this mystical vision of heaven, is just such a wonderful way for us to imagine, for us to envision for ourselves what it must be like where Mary in this divine Son, and Louisa describes the Son of God himself, this refulgent Sun spreading its rays, which penetrated through her. She says, it made me become like crystal so that even the little spots inside of me were seen clearly. And so each of these rays, she says, had its imprint. And then in the midst of this Sun, and I believe this is the part we want to emphasize today, she says she could see our Blessed Mother. Our Blessed Mother was not outside of the Sun, receiving rays of the Sun. She was in the Sun. She was living not according to the nature of God, but by participation in that very ocean, that very fullness of God's life, which Louisa envisions as a Sun. And Louisa, of course, feels absolutely annihilated and humbled before this vision. And then she sees that Mary's not alone in the Sun. She's holding baby Jesus himself, who does indeed speak to her and says that our Mama is in heaven. Beautiful that he says our Mama, that Mary is not just his, but he's given to her to us through all of the acts of his life, but in a special way in his last act on the cross of entrusting her to us as our mother and us as her children. And he says, so since she's in heaven, I give you now the office of acting as my Mama on earth. You know, we hear that many times in the gospel when people ask Jesus or tell Jesus that his family's there. In fact, once they say, your mother's outside looking for you. And he says, who are my brothers and sisters and my Mama? He says, he points to those sitting around him and he says, these are my mother, my brothers and sisters, those who do the will of my Heavenly Father. What makes Jesus one with Mary is the same divine will operating in both of them. What makes us one with Jesus and Mary is the same divine will that operates and lives in each one of us. And so he says, because my Mama was so perfectly one with me, that she was always suffering with me, but at the same time she was rejoicing with Jesus. But he says, because she allowed herself to be subject to all of the same pains, poverty, scorn, rejection, crucifixion that he went through. He says, not only this, but he said she wanted to relieve me, to give me consolation. And he says, you too now can do that. You can act as my mother and keep me company as a faithful companion in all that I've suffered as much as you can. And he says, and when you cannot reach this point, he said, give me at least a refreshment. And he says, but I want you always intent on me as my mother was. Brothers and sisters, this is what it means to be a mama to Jesus, to be all intent as though he were a newborn child in its mother's arms. We want to give our lives to dedicate ourselves, be devoted to him more and more each day. We're never there. It's never finished until we die. And then it'll go on forever. But we want to grow in that life, uniting with his will as much as we can, because that's what's going to determine our life with him in heaven. And so he says, when I see that you are all intent on me, then he says, you will become more and more one with me, and until you do, I'll give you no peace and no rest. Bit of a challenge for all of us. So if we're not feeling peace and rest in our lives, think of it as Jesus spurring us on to greater attentiveness, greater devotion, greater love for him together with his mama. Let us listen now to a little music reflecting a bit on this great role, great vocation of Mary, Queen of the Divine Will, Spouse of the Holy Spirit, how God wants us to share it with her in the kingdom of his will.
Jesus said, my mama, I feel a weight and a suffering at my heart to the point that I feel I am dying. Take a look at what is in there. And observing the interior of his heart, I found all the instruments of the passion. I removed them one by one, and I placed them in my heart. Then seeing him relieved, I began to caress him and kiss him, and I said to him, my sole and only treasure, you didn't even let me watch the feast of our Queen Mama or listen to the first canticles that the angels and the saints sang as she entered paradise. And Jesus, The first canticle that they sang to my mama was the Hail Mary, because in the Hail Mary there are the most beautiful praises, the greatest honors, and the joy which she felt in being made Mother of God is renewed. Therefore, let us recite it together to honor her, and when you come to paradise, I will let you find it as if you had recited it together with the angels and saints for the first time in heaven. So we recited the first part of the Hail Mary together, and oh, how tender and moving it was to hail our most holy mama together with her beloved son. Each word he said carried an immense light through which one could comprehend many things about the most holy Virgin. But who can say them all, especially because of my inability? Therefore, I let them pass in silence.
Thank you, Anne. So once again, Louisa's continuing her vision here of seeing Mary enthroned in heaven, and Jesus telling her that it was through his agony of suffering and all the instruments of his suffering that Mary came to participate so much in the interior of his life. And so Luis is looking into the interior of his heart there in heaven, and though he's no longer suffering, she sees all the glory that our Blessed Mother received from this passion of his that Mary shared with him. And so she sees Jesus relieved by this, and she says to him, "My one and only treasure, you didn't even let me watch the feast of our Queen Mother or listen to the canticles of the angels and saints." And so Jesus tells her, perhaps she didn't see it, maybe he's reserving that for her entry, for Louisa's entry into heaven along that long road of suns, all her millions of acts in the divine will that illumined her way to heaven. But he says that the first canticle they sang to my Mama Mary was the Hail Mary. What a beautiful thought. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Can't imagine words more pleasing to Mary, and I believe Jesus even says this to Louisa, that the words most comforting to her and joyful news for Mary, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you, Mary. And certainly God is with her now. Nothing will ever separate them. A great thought and great reminder for all of us that Mary's assumption is it's really a promise and a foretaste for each of us, what God has destined for us, which no ear has heard, no eye has seen, nor has we even imagined the great joy that God has prepared for those who love him. And so the Hail Mary is a great joy to Mary when she hears it. I think that's a great inspiration for us to say that prayer, the words of the angel Gabriel, they are the words of God to Mary. Therefore, they're words of the divine will speaking to Mary's soul. And so to say those words to Mary in our rosary is such a great joy and a great comfort to her. I hope we say that prayer very often. And when we say it, he says, when you recite it together to honor her, he says, then when you come to paradise, I will let you find it as if you had recited it together with the angels and the saints for the first time in heaven. So he's promising us, I think, even here on earth, a foretaste of that joy through the Hail Mary, together the joy of the angel Gabriel giving the good news, the Annunciation, the words of the Incarnation to Mary, remembering again that it's through his words that the Holy Spirit overshadows her when Mary says fiat. So too with us, it's only our fiat, only our yes to God, that allows, in a sense, gives the Holy Spirit permission to completely overshadow us and fill us, impregnate us with the very life of God. That's our part. Our human will is always necessary. It's always there, always acting and willing. But now it's acting and willing in the will of God, with the will of God, allowing God to do in us whatever he wants, and even if we know nothing about it. So she recites the Hail Mary with Jesus. Another great thought, isn't it, that when you pray, you know, in the divine will, we never pray alone. It's always the Holy Spirit, first of all, that prays in us. But we're also praying with the Holy Trinity. And we're praying with the communion of saints and with all of the church. To think that it's the words that Jesus would say to his own mother, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you, that we can pray those words with Jesus, with his spirit, and that through that unite ourselves more closely to him and also to the heart of his mother. So every one of these words, Louisa says, had an immense light through which we could comprehend many things about the great mystery of who Mary is. Only in heaven, I think we'll spend all of heaven discovering, celebrating, rejoicing in that mystery, because once again, it's not the mystery of Mary's humanity that we're enthralled by here on earth or in heaven. It's the mystery of the divine will that completely filled Mary with grace and operated in everything she did from the blink of an eye to her giving birth to Jesus. And so that's the same divine will that God wants to operate in us, and all that he did in Mary, he wants to continue to do in us. That's our prayer and our hope as we celebrate her feast and as we try to live each day as best we can the gift of the divine will. All right, we're going to pass on now to another volume. This is volume 14, and a bit later in Louisa's life, a point at which she's learning very intensely more and more about the gift of the divine will. So once again, we've got the same day, August 15th, the Feast of the Divine Will. This year is 1922, which Valerie's now going to read.
The acts of Jesus and those of the Most Holy Virgin Mary and the Divine Will. Finding myself in my usual state, I was abandoning myself into the arms of the Most Holy Will of God, when my sweet Jesus said to me, My daughter, you will not only find all the acts of my humanity in my will, acts in which I interwove all creatures, but you will also find everything that my dear mother did. Intertwining herself with me, her acts were as one act with mine. As soon as I was conceived in her womb, my mother began to weave herself into my acts. Since my humanity had no life, no nourishment, nor purpose other than the will of my father, she too had no other purpose than my father's will. The will of the father flowed through everything and constituted me as an act of every creature to restore to the Father on behalf of all creatures his rights as creator, and to give me to all creatures as their life. So too my mother restored to the Father his rights as creator on behalf of all creatures. She gave of herself to creatures so that all would receive as their life, together with my acts, those of her own.
Thank you, Valerie. Very beautiful understanding, description of Mary's relationship with Jesus. Again, it's not based on nature. It is based on the gift of the divine will. Because Jesus says, you will not only find all the acts of my humanity in that divine will, in which he interwove all creatures, in other words, which united him to the humanity of every human person that would ever live. But he says, in that divine will, you will also find all of the acts of my mother. Why? Because what God has done through Jesus by nature, what God has done through Mary by grace, goes on and on. It never ends. They're eternal acts because they're acts of God. So he says, intertwining herself with me, her acts were as one act with mine. And then she says, as soon as I was conceived in her womb, my mother began to weave herself into my acts. You see, it was not just a state of being. It wasn't just the will as the essence of God that was given her. It was an action, a continuous act, where Mary made use of that will of God to be willing to be the volition, the volere, in everything that she did. So he says she began from that very moment of her conception, and I believe actually she was doing this from the moment of her own conception, preparing for the Messiah. But as soon as she heard the words of the angel and she gave her fiat, and she conceived, she was impregnated by the divine word. And the incarnation took place in her womb, and that seed was formed by the power of the Holy Spirit hovering upon her. He says, then she began to respond not only with a fiat, but she began to unite whatever Jesus was doing in her womb. She began to unite her own acts. Amazing thought for a mother, isn't it? That the moment a woman conceives life in her womb, that she begins to do with that new life whatever that life is doing. And so she shares then by her willing in the divine will all that Jesus did. You know, that's exactly what the Catechism says in number 521. It says, Jesus enables us to live all that he lived, and he lives it in us. We could say, oh, those are just words, or can we really take them to heart? Because that's certainly what Mary took to heart. That's what she pondered. Everything that the divine will did in her son Jesus, she did with him. So you see, love, this kind of unity, this kind of unity of wills, of mind, of intellect, and memory, and heart and soul, can't just be done sometimes, it can't just be done once. It's something that goes on and on, as only perhaps a mother can understand. So he says, since my humanity had no life, no nourishment, nor purpose, other than the will of my Father, this too, my mother, had no other purpose than my Father's will. We might ask ourselves what our purpose is in life. Do I have a purpose? Is my purpose to simply survive, to be happy, to make a living, certainly to love and be loved? But that was not necessarily the only will of Jesus and Mary. Their will, Jesus says, they had no other purpose in life than to do the will of the Father, to live in the Father's will and the Father's will to live in them. So he says, the divine will then constituted, flowed through everything that they did, and constituted Jesus as an act of every creature to restore to the Father on behalf of all creatures the glory, the rights of the Creator. And to give me to all creatures as their very life, so to give glory to the Father and to give Jesus to all souls. This was the very vocation of our Blessed Mother. Restore the kingdom of the divine will with Jesus to earth as it reigns in heaven, and as it reigned in the Garden of Eden and was intended to reign throughout creation. This restoration of the kingdom. Someday we'll give a teaching on that, because it's so important in the scriptures, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, is precisely what this is all about. But it's not a kingdom of earth. It's not a kingdom of men. It's the very reign of the will of God that is restored now. Why? Because it was given and lost. And now it's restored to the Father, all of his rights to reign in his children as their Father and as their Creator. So he says this was the role not only that Jesus had in redeeming and sanctifying us, but also the role of his mother. And he says she gave of herself to creatures, to us, so that all could receive as their life not only her acts, but most of all those acts that united her to her Son in the divine will. We'll conclude this passage now as we will conclude our program. And this is the concluding passage from August 15th, 1922.
Now in heaven, she embraces all the glory of each creature. And my will gives her so much glory on behalf of each creature that there is no glory which she does not contain. Nor is there any glory that does not descend from her. Since she wove her acts, her love, and her sorrows, etc., with me, in my will, each one of these adds to her resplendent glory. This is why she embraces all and flows through all. This is what it means to live in my will. my beloved mother would never have been able to receive so much glory had not all her acts flowed in my will. These acts render her queen and crown of all. Now I want you in my will, so that the interweaving will not be between two, but rather among three. My will wants to enlarge you so that in one creature it will be able to find all creatures together. Do you see the great good that will come to you, how much glory you will give me, and how much good you will do to all?
Again, what is the glory of Mary in heaven? You know, some people will complain and say, well, we give Mary too much glory. You know, that glory should be given to God. Well, the glory that we give to Mary, again, is the glory of God. What we're glorifying in Mary is not, in a sense, Mary alone. It's the divine will, the life of God in Mary. That's the only glory there is. But Mary was given a greater participation in that glory than anyone else because she is the mother of God. She is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. And so she shares in the Trinitarian life in a way that none of us do because we're all born in original sin. But more importantly, because from her Immaculate Conception, she is given that seed of glory, which is the will of God. That's the seed of all glory. There is no glory other than the will of God. And so Mary's participation in the life of the Trinity is the source of the glory that we give her. He says there's no glory which she does not contain because she's full of glory. She's full of grace. Nor is there any glory that does not descend from her because glory is the glory of God is never self-contained. It's always a gift that God wants to share with his creatures. So Mary, too, as the instrument of that glory, as the vessel of glory in the church, that all of the glory of God flows through her. Of course, it can come through other ways, but it flows and descends from Mary. And since she wove her acts, her love, and her sorrows with Jesus, each one of these adds to her glory. Why? Because she was uniting with divine acts, certainly human acts of Jesus, but also divine acts of Jesus, which only make her glory ever greater. And he says, this is why she embraces all and flows through all. And this is what it means to live in my will. So to embrace all, to flow in all, to restore the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of the divine will to earth, that was given in the beginning of creation, the original grace. This is what Mary is about. This is why we love her and glorify her and ask her to pray for us. But it's also, brothers and sisters, what you and I are called to live. He says this interweaving between Jesus and Mary and the divine will is not meant just for them. The united hearts wants to always want to include other hearts. They want to embrace all of us and keep us all in that kingdom with them of the divine will so that it reigns on earth as in heaven. Thank you for being with us today. We are so happy that you have the great gift and the grace of learning more, loving more, not only our Blessed Mother, but more importantly, the gift of the divine will that reigns in her, reigned so perfectly, and continues now in heaven. Finally, we conclude with the blessing of Louisa. Through the intercession of Blessed Mary, Queen of the Divine Will, we bless you to help you. We bless you to defend you. We bless you to forgive you. We bless you to free you from all evil. We bless you to console you. We bless you to make you holy. We bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless and keep you all.